Good morning. Today is Thursday, April 30th, 2015. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I have two guests in the studio with me, Martina Cruiser from Sitkins Against Family Violence and Chris Washko, University of Alaska Southeast Director of Student Success. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good morning, Emily.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great. And what are you here to discuss?
We are here to announce that tonight we will screen a brand new documentary. It's called The Hunting Grounds, and it is about the culture of sexual assault on U.S. College campuses.
I actually have the trailer of the film pulled up. I'm going to play the first 30 seconds just to get us in the mindset of what the documentary is about.
I got a call from the dean of admissions asking if you were to get in to Harvard, would you accept? And I said yes, because I knew my mom would kill me if I said anything else.
The first few weeks, I made some of my best friends, but two of us were sexually assaulted before classes had even started.
I went to the dean of students' office, and she said, I just want to make sure that you don't talk to anyone about this.
They protect perpetrators because they have a financial incentive to do so.
So that is the beginning of the trailer for the 2015 film, The Hunting Ground. It is being screened tonight at University of Alaska Southeast at 6 o'clock for free. What room is it?
It's room 229, the big new theater. Fantastic environment.
It weaves together footage and first-person testimonies following survivors as they pursue their education while fighting for justice, despite harsh retaliation, harassment, and pushback at every level. So I know, Martina, you've seen the film, but for people who still don't understand what this is all about, can you just lay out the conflict that is at the center of this movie?
Well, we are at a time now where students prepare to finish up their high school and prepare for college. Not all of them, but many of them, and they are so excited. And then they go, and before they even start classes, some of them have experiences they would never have dreamed of, and so while students and parents and loved ones think we give them over to this very safe environment because we are talking Ivy League universities here, and then they are confronted with a very ugly reality of a culture that considers vulnerable young women, inexperienced young women, as sexual prey. And it's not so easy to watch, but I think it's a must see for not only young women, it's also a must see for men, young men.
Absolutely.
And their families.
When you say prey, is that why it's called The Hunting Ground?
I suppose so.
Because I know that when my sister went to college, she called me up on the phone and she's like, Emily, so I'm in the red zone. And I said, what does that mean? And she said, well, I'm a freshman. And that means I'm most vulnerable to certain kinds of sexual assault, drinking. Because she's new and because she's eager to get involved in the university and to make friends, that's a time in which some of these incidents happen. Is that true in your experience, or kind of what the film demonstrates, or can it happen to anyone anytime?
Oh, I mean, sexual assault can happen to anyone at any time. But we see in the movie that there is a fairly small number of male students who see it as a game or as a sport to pick up target on the most vulnerable, inexperienced women and then go after them. Boom. And they have their techniques. They vary. But and actually, they not only go after women, also after men, and that's shown as well in the movie.
And it should be stated that part of the film, what it deals with, is Title IX investigations that were filed against universities. So Title IX is the federal law that prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex for federal funded programs, which include universities and 94 colleges around the country, some Ivy League, but some not. Some state colleges, small liberal arts, have had individuals come forward to file one complaint or multiple complaints. So there is a sense that it's kind of all of a sudden being discussed. But I was wondering what motivated your two organizations to come together and show this film in Sitka amid this national conversation. I mean, how does it connect to us here?
I would like Chris to,
if you would like
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no problem. Well, it's been just the last couple of years that there has been some force, I guess, behind a movement to make universities and colleges really formalize their responsiveness and their procedures and their preventative education and everything to do with stopping and addressing appropriately any complaint of sexual harassment, sexual violence, and helping define what all is that. So, you know, Title IX's been around for a pretty long time, but it really was used and viewed and enforced in looking at K-12 sports gender discrimination. Are there equal sports opportunities for adolescent girls as there are for the boys? And really, Title IX wasn't intended just to apply to, you know, high schools, but it was meant to apply to any educational institution. And so basically, from the Violence Against Women Act, Joe Biden has been a champion for that quite a bit ago. It evolved into Title IX, basically, what do we call the thing? It's a white paper, a Dear Colleague Letter is what the higher education community calls it. And it came out, I think, around 2011, saying, yo, guys, you have to do something about how you're managing or mismanaging sexual assault on campuses. What is the procedure? What are the victims' advocacy steps that you're taking? How are you mitigating the problem? How are you protecting the victims while you do a proper and thorough investigation? And there wasn't a lot of responsiveness to that. You know, it asked specifically, how are you training every person, every staff member, every faculty member, anyone who interacts with students so that they have a place to go to, they know how to respond? Because I think Martina was, we were talking just a bit ago, and so much goes unreported. Some of it has to do with the culture of college life and what the expectations of young people are, and then the positions they find themselves in and not knowing how to feel empowered or where the resources are, what might happen if they do bring this forward. But more importantly, yeah, coming forth with litigation, basically, legislation that says every college and university will clarify these things, bring them up to the right standard, address the climate on campus and prevent this from happening, and must be accountable for showing what are the proper things they have in place to do and that they've been managing it appropriately.
Oh, so it's really coming from the top.
Oh, so, yeah.
And it should be acknowledged that, and just Chris, if you could give an update of, about this for people, that the University of Alaska system is being investigated under Title IX, but through a compliance review. Mm-hmm. So where are we in the process there? And also, you're new to the job. You've been there for how long?
I've been here almost 9 months in Sitka.
So how? So update us, and also, how is it for you as someone who works with students and is very much committed to their success?
Oh yeah. Okay. So I've been in the University of Alaska system for about 11 or 12 years now, and I actually started at UAS Juneau, and then went up to Valdez, and I've been working there at Prince William Sound Community College before I came back down here to Southeast, which I missed. My background has been 15 years in student affairs, higher education, with the counseling route of studies. And so definitely the student experience, student development, student advocacy is my background and my passion professionally. So it's been interesting because I've dealt with, I manage student housing and student activities and campus life and working on grants for student wellness, prevention, and early intervention. We've been working with these things, and I've been knee deep sometimes in sexual assault allegations and students coming to me saying, I think that I've been raped. And
How does it affect them?
How does it affect them? It completely takes over everything emotionally, mentally. They can't learn. This is the whole point, is learning stops. And that's why the Fed said, you must address this appropriately because you are basically not allowing people who are alleged victims to get access to education. Because when something like this happens, they can't learn. They can't feel safe. They can't go to class and feel like they can sit in a room with someone who perpetrated something horrible the night before, or the rest of that sports team, or the members of that fraternity or sorority, or whatever it might be. Like you had mentioned before, there's this need, especially at the beginning, this red zone you talked about. It's very real. There's a lot of risk because when you first get there, these are a lot of people who've just come out. If you think about developmentally, where a young adult, traditional age young adult is, that usually moves to campus, they've been living under their parents' rules or within, you know, certain set of expectations of going to school and doing this and this. So they have this newfound freedom, first off. Second, they're very confident and very happy that they've moved on to college. Usually it's an exciting experience. They're trying to fit in. They're trying to build a whole new social network. And so they're taking risks. They're taking risks with sexuality. They're taking risks with substance use. They're taking risks with new social environments. They're taking risks basically to find who they might be. There's so much identity development going on. I think that's why there's a lot of exploration, basically. And it's to be expected. But there is this culture, this expectation that higher education... I ask young people in high school, we start conversations like this when I go meet with high school groups, what do you think about when you think of college? Well, they think about movies. They think of Van Wilder. They think of Animal House. They think of frat parties and crazy drunkenness and lewdly clad women. It's not the way that it should be, and it's really not accurate for most students.
Right. And, I mean, the investigation, it is kind of winding down, and I know you mentioned surveys will be distributed at University of Alaska Southeast for students to kind of you can gather some data on. So what kind of university do you want?
Oh, okay.
Knowing...
I think
what
I didn't quite answer your question before, too, but...
These interviews are always so short, unfortunately, but no, this is very important, I think, for people to understand. So given that it happens here, not in as great of a... So the university, most of the complaints came from University of Alaska Fairbanks and Anchorage, but there were a handful from Sitka. So what university do you want to create? For those students who come in all eager and
exactly.
What do you want their experience? So,
and ours is winding down, but there was tons of paperwork and compliance of every incident that's happened. So, in the last few years, anyway. And what my type of university would be, and I think what the goal federally is, nationally, and hopefully at each institution that is waking up, basically, to what should be done to protect and nurture our students. Is that I want a university that has a climate when you walk in, not only for the students, but for the staff and faculty who work there, is that there is zero tolerance, first off, for any inappropriate conduct, treatment, action, risk. We want students to feel safe, first off. This is a new environment where they're supposed to find themselves, explore, and better themselves. And we're supposed to be preparing students, men, women, every student, to be productive members of society by the time they walk out educated. And that means knowing how to prevent, stop, properly treat people, and be good citizens.
Martina, how does that affect them as adults?
I only want to add that students need to learn that they are being held accountable for their actions. Yeah. Period.
Well, thank you so much for coming in to talk about this issue, which is so difficult to talk about sometimes, but the transparency you're bringing to it through this film is really great. And that film, so The Hunting Ground, is screening tonight at University of Alaska Southeast, room 229, at 6 o'clock. It is free, and it is one-time-only viewing, right? This is the only
That's
day.
That's correct, yes.
You can see the film. Well, thank you so much, Martina and Chris, for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.